And hello, all of you football freaks, this is Peter Brackley. Right, here we go.
Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, chaps, what a week in football it's been. Well, what an evening in football it's being right now, actually.
It is quite an evening at the moment, isn't it?
As we speak right now, we're watching the second half of Spain versus England, which, of course, you will know how it all ends up. We don't. There's 20 minutes left of it. Hmm. Harry Maguire's just gone in for a real reducer.
That's a beautiful way of putting that.
That's an outrageous time.
And he's just picked up a yellow card for
it. Rightly so. That was shocking.
Yes, Luis Enrique doing his nut there on the line there.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about the Nations League, even though we love talking about
even
the Nations
League. We're completely vindicated in our support of the Nations League.
Unless, of course, Spain do get their three goals in the last 20 minutes, as the gods will no doubt deem. But, guys, this weekend, it was non-league day, wasn't it?
It was.
And so, as good supporters of non-league football, what did we do on non-league day?
I didn't go and see any non-league football because, well, there wasn't any on right on my doorstep.
No. Terry, did you?
I also stayed home and watched the Slovakia versus Czechia game.
I went out for a walk. So it was a lovely day on Saturday. Yeah, I didn't go and see any non-league either. But, listeners, that's not because we don't support non-league day. It's because we are season tickets for our local non-league football club, as you will know anyways, because we talk about it enough on this podcast. Mm. And so we go there every other week. Every other week is a non-league day for us, isn't it, really?
Which is more important than just going once.
Well, this is it, isn't it?
Yes.
Because there are rumblings, aren't there, Terry, that some people maybe aren't entirely happy with non-league day.
Mm.
Not in the concept of it. I mean, what's there not to like about encouraging people to go to see a non-league game when there's no top flight action? So this weekend, it used to be that there was no league football on non-league day, wasn't it? But this season, non-league day has fallen on the day when there was no football in the top two tiers. Sunderland would have been playing had they not had three international players.
Yeah,
so their game against Blackpool was called off. But that was the only game in League One that was actually called off, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Now, it seems to be quite popular. Lots of people turned out. I think at the Whiteleaf game, they were away to Hastings in the FA Trophy. I think 460 people were reported to have turned up.
Which, wow.
I mean, although Hastings get quite a good gate, they don't usually get 460.
Mm.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been bumped up by the number of travelling fans from Whiteleaf anyway.
No.
What could anyone have against something like non-league day?
Well, I think that some people might feel that it's a bad strategy and that you're trying to appeal to the wrong crowd, that you should be competing against other things that people do on Saturday afternoons rather than watching professional higher tier football. Mm. And I think also there's been a suggestion that it's been appropriated by higher league football and by sponsors for their own gain and for good PR, rather than necessarily any kind of genuine desire to support the non-league.
I think some people can say that it's a touch patronising. The big boys aren't playing, so why don't you go and see what's going on with this minor little... Isn't it cute? Isn't it cool to go along and see what's going on down there? I don't think that that's in the spirit of what it's meant to be for, but you can see, as Terry was saying, it's being appropriated and people talk about it, or can be seen to talk about it in a bit of a patronising way. And I think there's a danger at being seen like that. So if there's a criticism of it, I think that's probably one of the ones that I would kind of sit with.
I can certainly see that if you're a non-league fan, that you might see it as being a bit of a stunt and perhaps not being as effective as people think it is. I don't know whether or not there has been any kind of real raise in the attendance in non-league football.
Hmm.
I don't know how easy it would be to measure this sort of thing anyway, because there are so many non-league clubs, so many attendances to take, that it will take an awful lot of work to actually empirically prove whether or not attendances has gone up or down. But there was this chap on Twitter who stated that there was no raise in overall non-league attendance since non-league day started. But I don't think it's badly implemented. I think it's a decent idea, you know, to bring awareness of non-league football to people who may not ordinarily be aware of it, and then to encourage non-league clubs to try and get more people in. But I think that maybe the problem in non-league day is that non-league football perhaps doesn't do enough around it or after it to bring people into their clubs. So you could perhaps even say it's a wasted opportunity by clubs.
Yeah, it certainly is an opportunity. But you're right, if it's going to be used effectively, and I'd imagine that clubs that do the best are the ones that use it in concert with a load of other strategies as well to get people through the door. Going back to the point on whether it did or whether it has or has not increased attendances, it is difficult to say. I mean, it's not just as simple as just adding up the numbers, because I think non-league football competes not necessarily with actual football. I can't believe I said that, sorry. Yeah. But you take my point. With higher league football, it competes with a lot of other things that you might want to do, as you said, on a Saturday afternoon. And because it doesn't cost as much to go there and your season ticket is relatively inexpensive, if you miss a game, it's not necessarily the end of the world. You compare that to going to one of the Premier League clubs and you've spent, you know, thousands of pounds going to get a season ticket for that, then it's a big deal missing out on that. The spirit of it is a good thing. I think that it highlights the need to invest in your local grassroots football, and it does stick a date on the calendar that everyone can kind of centre around. But you're right, if you're going to make a success of it, you need to make it a big event and try and invest in your community and get them down, not just for that day. And I think that it's not really about getting people away from Premier League or Championship clubs. It's about saying to people, look, you are interested in football. Maybe you think it's a bit too much of an investment to go and see a top-tier club. But actually, for a relatively small investment, you can actually go and see a very, very good standard of football, some very able young athletes play a really great game of football, and you can have a beer and have a laugh, and you'll be thoroughly entertained, and it won't cost you much at all. And I think that's really what it should be about.
The timing of it wasn't great this year because it wouldn't have given a lot of people going to non-league day the full non-league experience. This weekend just passed was for pretty much the entirety of the step four of non-league, which is the level that Whiteleaf's at. They were all pretty much playing in the FA Trophy, and the FA competitions don't allow you to drink pitchside, which you can do on league days. So you wouldn't have got the full non-league experience from non-league day if you'd gone to one of the 72 fixtures that were for the FA Trophy. You would have seen a great game, especially if you're at Hastings. You would have seen Whiteleaf win 4-2. Amazingly. We didn't, because we were doing other things. But there is room for people who are season ticket holders for top level clubs to still go along to non-league football, because they're only going to be using that season ticket every couple of weeks. So that does give them alternate Saturdays to go. And if you support a Premier League club, the likelihood of you actually kicking off at 3 o'clock is about 50-50 anyway.
That's true. Isn't it? Yeah.
So Saturdays are quite often free. So there really isn't the pressure on supporters to say, OK, well, you definitely don't have a game to go to today. Go and see some non-league.
Yeah, and I think if the Premier League sides were so invested in it, then, you know, it could be quite a nice thing for them to do, to either at the end of a game or even print in their programme. We're away next week. If you can't make it to, you know, the trip to Penzance or wherever we're going, then why don't you get yourself down to X club that's on your doorstep and actually invest your time and watch some great football down there?
The FA could do a bit more in that respect as well, couldn't they?
Yeah.
In coordinating the schedules. Not coordinating them, in collating them, rather, on their website so that it was easily available. You could make it a little bit easier if you were local to be able to go with the FA website. And they go, all right, hello, welcome to the FA. Do you know there's a game on in your area, not far, this far from where you are now, on Saturday, 3 o'clock. And yeah, there could be more that could be done to support non-league in that respect. But I just think that the concerns with non-league day are largely around the fact that it just seems to be turning into a publicity stunt.
Yes,
For people who are not actually that genuine in their support or sincere in their support of non-league football.
That is, I think, the only, I don't want to say it's troublesome, but it's concerning at the moment, because you do think that if it's like this now, what's it going to be like in two or three seasons' time when you've got your official non-league day pull-out in Match of the Day magazine?
Hmm. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
You're suggesting that's a bad... Well... Your tone suggests that's a bad thing.
The only thing that makes me say it's a bad thing is because when Match of the Day magazine advertised Non-League Day on Twitter, they used a picture of Salford City.
Well, of course they did.
So it's that sort of thing that makes me sort of think, well...
Let's not go into that again.
Yeah, let's not go into that again, but...
Well, all right, actually, let's go into that, actually. I mean, from the BBC's perspective, Salford City is the big non-league story, so therefore perhaps it makes sense that their readers are going to better relate to what non-league football is by having a picture, say, using Salford City as an example. Of course, we would argue that Salford City is not an example of non-league football for reasons that we've been into on previous podcasts, and I'm not going to go over again now. But
certainly.
Anyway, we've made our view. Well, I've made my view clear on that. I think it's shared by everyone else.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. That's a good case in point. But surely also there's a possibility of education here as well. So over the years, Match of the Day, for example, might be educated to think, well, you know what, actually non-league football is very, very different to just that. It's not just about a bunch of famous rich people, you know, owning a non-league club and taking them on a romantic journey. I mean, it is oftentimes about just, you know, friends assembling, going to a game and having a few drinks and enjoying themselves in a convivial atmosphere and watching usually a good game of football.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for a lot of non-league fans, not all, but a lot of non-league fans, football's not secondary, but it's very much part of a collected experience.
People arrive at non-league football for a lot of different reasons. It's not just because they've been priced out of their local top-tier side.
Mm.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. People will say, oh, I'm not spending 50 quid to go and see a game of football that could be crap.
Mm.
I'll spend a tenner on a game football that might be crap,
but not always a ladder. I don't go to Crystal Palace because I can't afford to go to Crystal Palace. I don't go to Crystal Palace because none of my mates support Crystal Palace who live anywhere near me. Most of my Palace supporting friends don't live anywhere near and don't go to Palace.
Yeah,
I would, if I went to Palace, I would go on my own.
Yeah,
and that's boring.
Yes,
it is. I did it one season and it was boring. I prefer to go to Whiteleaf with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much, much better experience. Yeah. I'm reading to that whatever you will. I frankly don't care what people think about that.
Yeah.
But that's how I see it.
And of course,
that's why I do.
Yeah. And we've said this before. I mean, when you live in London, London attracts people from all over the country, all over the world, to work in. So by the time people come to London, they'll already have their club that they support and they probably won't be in London. So, yeah. The crowd that we go along with down to Whiteleaf support all different clubs.
Mm.
We've got a couple of Chelsea fans there. We've got Sunderland fan.
Sunderland.
Yeah, that's actually quite a few Sunderland fans down there, isn't there? Actually,
well, there's three.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's quite a few.
That's 3% of the crowd. That's quite a lot of people.
Calculate the distance, the ratio between the distance between Whiteleaf and Sunderland and the average attendance of Sunderland, I'd say three is pretty high.
Yeah,
it's probably overrepresented.
Certainly.
Yeah,
one of our friends, however, doesn't support any club apart from Whiteleaf.
Yes.
And he only started supporting Whiteleaf about a year ago when we started dragging him down there.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because he never had a club beforehand. So.
No, that's the beauty of non-league football, isn't it, really? And within a few months, you know, he's giving it banter as well.
He is giving it banter. He was bantering people on the train, apparently.
Yeah.
We don't know about it. But, I mean, well, this is a perfect example. I mean, this is a guy who's reached a time in his life where he's got his Saturday afternoons back. His kids have grown up and they're not interested in him anymore.
Yeah.
So he's got his Saturday afternoons back. But if it hadn't been for our intervention, he would have been off doing some other thing.
Yes.
And it could have been anything.
Could have been golf.
He
beat me to it.
Delboy would rather, I think he would rather die than play golf.
I know, but it does get me. It does get
me. No, I know. I'm aware of his awesome
on
power.
Guard.
Yeah. But he could have took any other kind of hobby or pursued any of his existing hobbies more vigorously.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that he got involved with us and we got him involved in Whiteleaf, and that's how it happened. You don't need non-league days in order for that to happen.
No.
You just need interventions.
When you see the beginnings of someone having misgivings about non-league day, it is important to start a conversation to say, well, is it working? And if it is being appropriated by people who perhaps don't have the interests of non-league at heart, but have their own interests at heart, then what can we do to make sure that, the right people still maintain ownership?
I think that it just needs to be more than once a year. I think there needs to be more of a sustained effort to raise the profile of not just non-league football, but I think more locally by non-league clubs. I was just thinking there that I've lived in a fair few places across the country, and I think I'm right in saying that this is the only place where it's become obvious to me that there was a local non-league side around. Yeah. And I'm sure in every place I've lived, there's been a non-league side within spitting distance, but I've just never been aware of them. And that's an easy thing to miss. I mean, if I didn't live across the road from here when I did, and could hear some of the White Leaf ruffians singing away maybe after a few too many sherbets a few years ago, I would never have known it was really there. I mean, it's on a quite quiet little road. You know, there's not much through traffic there, so you possibly wouldn't even know it was around. But I did hear that, and I thought, well, that's just down the road. And I wanted to make sure I got my son into football, so I decided, well, I'm going to take him down there and just see what it's all about. And I've been going ever since.
Yeah.
So I think that there's probably a lot of people like me that probably would be interested in going along and just watching a decent standard of football, and it being an easy experience. You don't have to travel across town or anything like that. You can just kind of wander down, or maybe it's a short bus ride away, and you can go and, you know, while away your Saturday afternoon watching something you like, maybe having a drink and not being subject to some of the other restrictions that you would if you went to top level football. So yeah, I think if there's anybody from a non-league club thinking, what can I do more to get people in, then I think don't just rely on non-league day. I think it's a great idea, and if you get a handful of people going to watch these games that didn't go before, then there's a chance they might go again, and that obviously that's the whole idea of the initiative. But do more and reach out more to your community and let them know that you're there, and then people hopefully will come along.
There's nothing wrong with anything that you've just said. The difficulty, I feel it pains to point out at this point, that non-league clubs are run mostly by volunteers.
Yeah.
In fact, all of them are run by volunteers, and almost certainly are the kind of skeleton staff. You'll never find enough people to... You'll find plenty of people like us who'll be saying, this is what you should be doing, but you'll find plenty of people like us who won't really be raising our hands to offer to do it themselves, because I mean, we're too busy reporting podcasts and doing all the other stuff that we have to do. So getting the talent and those skills to market, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Of course we are.
We're talking about marketing. And to get those, you know, clubs don't readily have that skill set available to them among their fan base, who are willing to give up their time, even if they did have them there. So it's not easy. And at this point, you would then be really looking to the Football Association to try and help in these areas. And it's a vast undertaking because there's countless, I'm sure there is a finite number of non-league clubs in England, but there are so many of them that there may as well be countless. So it's not an easy thing to do, to then try and help clubs and give them that kind of support mechanism and give them any kind of money that they would need to be able to help that, because again, it's really more a question of skill. You know, I think that there will be plenty of people who would want to do it but don't necessarily could do it. It's easy to say these things. It's much, much harder to implement them.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point, actually. So potentially the FA could do something like use its buying power to say, well, look, we could potentially help you upgrade your websites, for example, with some specialist knowledge that we've got access to through economies of scale, then maybe that might be able to help you. Or why don't you come along for a morning and we'll give you a crash course in social media marketing, something like that.
That would be a great idea.
But, you know, something like that that might be able to help people out. And then you've got, like, just, you know, Joe Bloggs who goes, well, I'd love to get more people down to my club, but you're right, I haven't got the skills to do it.
Yeah.
So maybe if you show me out, maybe I'm not on Twitter, maybe I don't know how to use Facebook, maybe I don't know, how to get stuff printed or whatever.
The FA could probably even go as far as to set up some server space for local leagues to then allocate to their clubs, and then they could run workshops on WordPress.org for half a day on that, and you know, frankly, you've got the basics of a website going on there, and you're able to then host and manage these things yourself rather than relying on services like Pitch Hero and football web pages, which are fine, but they are third-party private companies, and there are plenty of people who have had interesting things to say about both of those services.
Yeah, the FA do have the full-time website, which does provide a platform for leagues. and results. It's not the easiest to navigate. Mm. It's not the easiest to use. But if you are technically minded, you can use that information and you can take the feeds from there to populate your website. Right. I doubt there are many non-league football clubs in the country that can take advantage of that.
Mm.
Luckily, White Leaf does take advantage of that. But there
free
are
of charge as well.
Free of
I
charge
understand
as well,
that
yeah.
the mug who does it for him for nothing as well.
He does indeed.
I understand that. Yeah,
I understand
really
that
nice
website.
Guy.
He's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
I understand that website is hosted free of charge as well.
It is. But you know why?
Why?
Just so I know that it works.
So you know when the match is on.
So I know when the matches are on. And I know when the results are.
Yeah, because you're the only person you trust is yourself in these matters.
Well, exactly.
Absolutely.
If you want a job done properly.
Yes, indeed.
Even then, I don't update that site. That's done by the club. I just gave them something very easy for them to update.
Yeah, you gave them a CMS that they could use.
Yeah,
and it, yeah
exactly.
Yeah. A bespoke CMS as well.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. That's what I do. That stops me putting on high-vis and directing people to where
it's
where
your
they
equivalent.
Can't park.
It's your equivalent of putting on a high-vis jacket and
basically
people,
it's one afternoon a year to do.
And the Sound of Football is proud to host White Leaf
FC's website. We are
indeed.
We are indeed.
Honoured, in fact.
Yeah, but I suppose it's little things like that. For me, I think that if the Premier League really did want to help non-league day, when it comes to the negotiations of for the rights, for the TV rights with Sky and BT, whoever, they say, yeah, well, here you go. Well, you've got live coverage of all these matches. Oh, by the way, every clubhouse in the country gets free access to these matches.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're not showing them at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon...
Mm.
It's 3-2. Sergio Ramos has scored in the 7th minute.
Has to be that pantomime villain, doesn't it?
7 minutes. Oh, dear. It's now England 3, Spain 2. But is there going to be time? Is that it?
That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
He's blown his whistle.
What
there's Cameron on the
ending.
Pitch. That was strange.
But hey,
but
well
hey.
Done, England.
Yes. Well done, England. Do you think you could run that plan by me one more time?
Yeah. Basically, next time the TV deal is done...
Mm.
What they should say is, yeah, here's all the matches you can show live. By the way, you've got to give a free subscription to all the clubhouses.
See, now that's an idea.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, those clubhouses, they're not going to pay for that subscription anyway.
No.
So you may as well give it to them for free.
Yeah.
It does perhaps bring us to a related topic, and that, of course, is lower league football.
Yeah.
Lower league football, leagues 1 and 2. Now, is there an argument to say that there should be a lower league day? Where rather than fans of Premier League and Championship clubs, rather than them being encouraged to go to their non-league club, go and see their nearest League 1, League 2 club.
Yeah.
Is that feasible?
Obviously with lower league clubs is that these are professional clubs. So these are professional outfits and these are hopefully should be run by people with a bit more time on their hands to do their own marketing. So you would think that if you don't know that, let's say, Wigan Athletic are on your doorstep.
Yes.
Then there's something seriously wrong with the marketing department of Wigan Athletic. They don't rely on volunteers to let you know that they've got a game on.
Yeah, well, how would you feel about... I mean, it is just not an ideal example because obviously Sunderland are in League One. But when reason is restored to its throne and you are back up in the top upper echelons where you belong... And let's say, for example, if you're a local Sunderland lad and, you know, let's say there's this a lower league day initiative, would you be minded to, say, go to somewhere like Hartlepool's? Would that be something that you would want to do?
I would. I mean, it's a bit of a trek. Mm. But, I mean, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
it's not
a great example.
Yeah, but no, I think if you were in London or a more metropolitan area, then I suppose, yeah, it'd be a fine thing to do.
Mm.
Berwick. Yeah.
Newcastle.
I mean one step at a time.
Lovely,
yeah. I think 5 years from now.
I think it's a fair point that the lower league clubs are also struggling and they struggle with attendance themselves. And as more and more people decide maybe to watch their professional football on TV, it probably is eroding their fan base. Could they do with the help? Well, yeah. But I suppose if you're going to say, well, this international break in October is going to be non-league day, and then the international break in, I don't know, what, late November,
yeah,
for November. Example, well, that's going to be lower league day.
Yeah.
I think that starts to cheapen both of those events, and I think that you might lose a little bit in translation
there. It is a little bit, why isn't there an International Men's Day?
It is a little bit like that. Yeah.
Only a little bit like that. I don't want to be too offensive there, but I mean...
I think it's more like Grandparents' Day, isn't it?
Yeah, Do you start buying people cards for non-league day? Happy non-league day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I suppose when we know when it's jumped the shark is when Hallmark get involved.
Yeah.
Non-league day, sponsored by Hallmark. Pick up all your non-league day merchandise. Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Of course, you can't leave anything around with football without someone trying to make a buck from it, can you really? So... if someone said, oh, yeah, no, but all the money goes right back into grassroots football, then all of a sudden you've got a beautiful reason for there to be cards or merchandise or whatever.
Well, that's perfectly true, I suppose. Yes, absolutely. It all depends on how you look at it and how much of your soul you're prepared to give away. I think it is probably worth pointing out that this is not really, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not here to denigrate non-league day as an occasion.
No.
I enjoy non-league day.
Yeah.
I just think that there's some value in discussing what's happened over the last few years. We remember when it started off.
Yeah.
And it was a teeny tiny thing. And the guys behind it have worked extremely hard and don't deserve to be criticised for the work that they've done. And they're certainly not getting any criticism from me about it. But I do think that there's some value in assessing and reassessing this thing as it gets bigger, as I'm sure it will get bigger and become more successful. And it will face new challenges and more corporate challenges from people who aren't necessarily, you know, thinking of non-league football. And I guess that's probably where these concerns, from where these concerns stem.
There is also the idea that some of these concerns might just be coming around from grumpy people who like to go onto the ground and don't like another 100 or so Herberts turning up, who just basically tourists.
Well, so I don't like when new people come, kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Jan.
Yeah. No, you're looking at me. Yeah. I am definitely that guy.
Well, the thing is, if I turn up on non-league day and I turn left out of the turnstile and go and stand in our usual spot, and someone's in my usual spot, then I'll be like, bloody tourists.
Who is this person sitting here?
Yeah,
no, totally. It's a really good point. I have my spaces where I go, and I don't like change when it comes to, you know, non-league. And, you know, I know that if it's my round for half-time, I know pretty much the precise moment before half-time whistle that I can nip off to the bar and go and get the beers in nice and early so that they're ready and waiting for you guys when you come in from half-time. And you can tell me the score. If I've missed a goal, then, you know, well, we all do it. All of us do it. Yeah. All of us have got it. We all look at our watches and we go, right then, my round, and then off we go. But more people causes problems there.
The thing is, though, that is a bit crap, though, isn't it?
Because, it's mega crap.
Because it's a bit like people who stop listening to certain bands just because other people stop, because they get a top 20 hit.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not listening to them anymore.
No, because now you misunderstand. That's a perfectly valid reason to not listen to that. What's going on here? I don't understand what's going on here at all.
If they're on Spotify, that's it. I'm not listening to them now. They've gone mainstream.
See, this is, it's all NIMBYism, isn't it? It's just like, basically, we like what we like, and we don't want success for our clubs, do we? You see, that's the problem.
There was that story of Lewis, wasn't there, a few years ago, who sacked their coach because he got them promoted. Or at least that's the popular story, that's what he did. He got them promoted to the National League, and they said, we don't want to go, we can't afford to play in the National League. and he just went ahead and won the football matches, and then they rewarded him with the sack. Wow. I mean, these are actually, in fairness, although that's a very, very florid example, you know, there is something in this with non-league football. Yeah. Is you do need to be careful about overspending in Whiteleaf to a degree. Although we're having a great season, it's in spite of the way the club is being managed in the last few years, and not because of it. And I mean, there are countless stories about this. Well, not countless, because there's only a finite number of clubs. But
no one's going to pull you up on that.
There are plenty of stories of non-league clubs that aren't managing themselves, you know, terribly well, and not spending their money right. And so there is sometimes wisdom in a club that goes, look, this is our level, and although we can technically go one up, and even two up. We don't think it would be a good idea because the club doesn't have the foundations, hasn't got the support base, doesn't have the infrastructure to be able to support that kind of growth. And so we need to stay where we are. And, inconceivably, you need to tell your coaches and your players, look, I'm sorry, guys, but... And this is tricky because then players will go, well, actually, I'd rather go and play for a club that's more ambitious, and then they leave, and then actually you start going down. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult to manage.
It has to be said that non-league clubs fail, by and large, not because of dwindling numbers going through the turnstiles. It's usually down to some decisions that are made in the boardroom.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what usually happens. It's usually done by an owner who has overreached himself or is, shall we say, a little shady, because there's plenty of those around in non-league football.
Yeah.
But they'd all love more people coming through. But if you're in a village, you're only going to get a certain percentage of those people coming in to see the game. And yeah, you're right, Jan. If you don't know that there's a non-league club in your town, then you're on to hiding to nothing to begin with, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think of the clubs in Croydon, just a few miles up the road. They've got two non-league clubs there. One of them is situated between a cemetery and an allotment, and the other one is by a dump.
Croydon Athletic in particular, you look at it on a map and say, oh, it's just around the corner from, you know, the 64 bus stop.
Yeah.
That's no problem, I'll just go down there. It's half an hour walk.
Yeah.
I mean, you get started on this endless Mayfield Road. It's just this endless road. And then you get to the end of it and you go, where is it? Where's the ground? And it's still another good 5 minute walk on from there, right round the back of the cemetery. There's the massive municipal cemetery. So, you know, these places are kind of tucked away, and particularly in the metropolitan areas
where
land is so expensive that they're not going to be sort of like, you know, I mean, look at poor King Stanley.
Yes.
The pressures that they've been, they've had to leave their ground. The likelihood of them finding a new ground anywhere close to Kingston is just fanciful. Yeah, I mean, I knew there is a strong argument actually to say that given the housing crisis in London and in the metropolitan areas in the UK, that non-league football clubs shouldn't be given any prime real estate in these parts of town because they should build houses on them. But that is a loaded opinion, frankly.
That is, yeah. You know. Well, it's an opinion that some people can have, and a lot of people
have that opinion, yeah.
I wouldn't agree with it. I think a non-league club is an asset for a small town or a village.
I wouldn't kick a non-league club out
as
a consequence of it. So, like, for example, I wouldn't kick Dulwich Hamlet out of their ground, like the property developers that now own their ground have done.
Yes.
But I think it's a somewhat different proposition for a non-league club to move in.
Yeah.
Kingston is a different case because, obviously, they have been kicked out.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure Wimbledon fans, as they repeatedly say, oh, well, you know, Kingston, you know, were aware that this was something that could happen. But nevertheless,
yes,
what has happened is that Wimbledon were their tenants, but now they no longer have a ground.
So. Yes. I suppose, really, a lot of people's issue with non-league football is not the fact of the perceived lack of quality, but really it's more down to the fact that they like going to games where there's lots of people. They like to go in a game where there's a big atmosphere. And when you go to a ground which has got 200 people, most of them probably nudging 50 or over, you're not going to get a real groundswell of passion and atmosphere, which is part of the reason why people love going to these big barns that take 30, 40, 60,000 people. Is that the fundamental problem with non-league? Is the fact that people expect everything out of football is really geared towards massive stadiums, big atmosphere, lots of cheering? Because as we saw on Friday, when you have England playing Croatia behind closed doors, and you can hear the players talking to each other, it seems weird.
It felt like I shouldn't have been watching that game. I felt like I was watching it and someone was going to say to me, why are you staring at me? Or something like that.
Can I help you?
Yeah, why are you watching these people?
You watch normally. You've been to games with less than 100 people.
I think it's a little bit different when you're watching it on the television
and you're exposed to that.
And that's what made it feel so spooky. I think if you were probably in the stadium, it would have felt fine. And there was a little collection of England fans on that little hill.
Yes.
Which was, I thought, was really
apparently
good.
Apparently the police had tried to stop them, block the road to that little hill. It was on the news earlier. They were saying about the fact that this is the vantage point where you've got to get to, and England fans had obviously found a way of breaking through. Well done,
they did. Yeah, they did. They did really well. But I don't think that's the problem with non-league football. I think that there is a problem with possibly people's perception that football should look like this crowded bowl with ultras at one end and everyone having a great time and the superstars on the pitch. And I think that if people think that is what football actually is, then they're very much mistaken, because I think some of the beauty, the real beauty in the beautiful game, is actually seeing it being played by ordinary people and with people that you can maybe, you know, have a beer with afterwards or not, because Yeah. The kids don't drink anymore. But you can have a, you can be in the same space as them and have a talk with them about the game. The format is not a big cauldron, loads of people, superstars, advertising everywhere, and no alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, it should be more free-flowing. Mm. It's certainly the alcohol should be more free-flowing. But it should be more versatile, it should be more liquid, and it should be about just enjoying the sport.
No, I couldn't agree more. I can completely understand why there are some football fans who would not enjoy the non-league experience because they love going to football matches because they are in with a massive crowd of people and really, really enjoy that. But it is incorrect to suggest that football exists for that because it completely ignores, I would suggest, about 99% of what actual football is.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to go down one tier from the Premier League to go and sit in a half-empty stadium and then further still in League One and League Two, and then down into non-league. This is worth qualifying. Some parts of the Championship where a team's not doing very well at home and the home crowd don't turn up. At other parts of the Championship, you will get big numbers depending on how well they're doing, and this is replicated all the way down. But obviously, the numbers get smaller and smaller until you get to a point, say, at Whiteleaf, where it sounds very similar to what we were kind of listening to on Friday, although obviously the acoustically is only the fact that they were playing in a state in an empty bowl that lended a different acoustic to it. But there's nothing wrong with watching and playing football in that environment. And in fact, in many cases, most of the time up and down the country, that is exactly the kind of environment that you do. And if you are incapable of enjoying a football match under those circumstances, then that's fine. But I don't think it's right to say that all it is big crowds.
Yeah.
It's different on the television, Jan. You're quite right to point that out. It is weird watching that on the television. It's why I struggle watching youth tournaments on television, because they're played in stadiums and the stadiums are not even a quarter full. Mm. And it sounds tinny and weird and I sometimes find it too distracting to watch. Different story if you're actually in the stadium.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit pompous to suggest that fans are everything. I don't quite buy that. I think players basically make football matches.
Yeah.
And the reason why football is so good to watch is because of the way that it is, because of the nature of the game itself and not because of the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. And that's why I enjoy watching football at almost any level.
Yeah. There's a question you ask yourself as well. If you sit down and watch football on television, for example, which most people consume it, if you want to see clubs that are at the other end of the country to you or the other end of the continent to you. But most people see games like that. How many games have you watched on television that were terrible? There's a lot of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
Whereas, to be honest with you, I can't think of too many times that I've gone down to Whiteleaf where I've walked away and I've felt the entire experience was a letdown.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen. Because you're right, you're so close to the football, you're there with your mates, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Whereas if you're just watching it, just being served up to you, spoon-fed to you on a television, if the game is lacking, then the whole experience can be ruined for you. Whereas if you go down to watch a game, and I suppose this applies to any live football event, but if you're actually there, whether it's you've got 30,000 people around you or whether you've got 30 people around you, the fact you've got people around you is what makes the experience enjoyable, and I think that's what's missing when you watch it on TV.
Yes. Well, I'm sure we can come up with 7 games this weekend that won't be terrible to watch.
I think we will, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll
do our best. Yeah.
Yes. What have we got this weekend?
Well, the A-League kicks off, doesn't it?
Usain Bolt will be turning out.
Do you think he'll be playing?
I don't know. Wonder.
Well, let's see. Maybe we'll ask an expert, see whether or not Usain's likely to play.
Maybe we will. Chelsea Man U, I think, this weekend. Everton Palace this weekend.
Everton Palace. Great. Yes. Yeah. Oh, joy. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. There's a derby in Milan as well.
Small matter of Milan derby. Yeah.
And if you have got 11 sports, you might be able to watch some embargo-busting football on Saturday afternoon as well.
Absolutely, yeah. They are going for it, aren't they? They're going for that embargo. Yep. Coming for you, embargo, say 11 Sports.
Yes.
How are they getting away with that?
Because they're not a TV channel.
So they can just go, well, yeah, we're doing
it. Yeah.
They're just doing what the betting companies have been doing.
They've been doing for years. Yeah, that's all they're doing. Yeah. We might be different when they get carriage.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a discussion we can have for another time, and I'm sure we will actually when it all.
I'm sure we
when
will.
It all works itself out.
You can look forward to that one, won't you, listeners?
Oh yeah, there'll be nothing dry about that conversation.
But if you do want to
take a week off of that,
if you do want to read what we think about the best games that will be on your telly this weekend, then get along to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball. But for now, that's all we've got time for. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Dalton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Jordan Pickford. Now, you see tackles like that week in, week out in England. So,
you do,
you know.
But...
by goalkeepers, but fucked up a clearance.
Yeah, but,
yeah, specifically
but
in that scenario.
Not
well.
Actually a tackle.